Okay. I want to share with you guys a couple pictures to start out. This is one of my favorite birding spots. I don't get to go there very often because it's several hours away, but this is the Sax Zim Bog up by Cotton, Minnesota. I'm sure you guys who grew up on the Iron Range know where Cotton is. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, so I'm not sure how many of you have been through there, but you can kind of see the bog area. This is a really hot birding spot nowadays. This is one of the only places that I know of east of the Rocky Mountains where great gray owls breed. And here is one of our pictures that we took here this last January. I took the two older boys up there for the day, and we were looking for birds up north that you don't normally get to see down here. And so we had fun. You remember that day, boys?
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's a great gray owl. This is one of the most sought after birds in this area. Pretty rare anywhere outside of this area, and even within the bog, it's hard to find. So just really cool. There's mammals up there too that you don't always get to see down here. This is a snowshoe hare I saw a couple years ago, and just last week someone posted on Facebook they saw two moose in the road in this area. It's kind of the furthest south that they would normally venture. So it's just a really cool nature area. But this picture that I posted of us going up there, we were specifically looking for this bird. This is called a three-toed woodpecker. And the little area, like most of the time when we're up in the bog, we're staying in the car for a lot of the time. It's pretty cold, there's a lot of snow. So we kind of bird from the car. But this specific woodpecker, we had to stop and park the car and go into this little area called the Winterberry Bog in order to find the three-toed woodpecker. And we got out there, and I know you guys probably can't see it from the screen, but the snow is pretty deep. Okay, and this is a pretty good sized nature area to walk in, and I was very thankful that there was people that had gone before us and had made a path. Where the path was, they had tromped on it with snowshoes or skis or feet or whatever it was. So there's a path in the snow. The snow is probably, you know, this deep. There's no way we could have gone through this little bog to look for the woodpecker had someone not gone before us and packed the snow down, okay? So all of this to say, I want you to just keep this in the back of your mind, this picture. Someone went before us and made a way so that we could go in and do it too. Okay, this morning we are going to be looking at something a little different. I don't normally want to focus an entire sermon on one word, but we're going to do that this morning, and that's the Greek word archegos. Can you guys say archegos? I don't think everyone said it. Archegos. All right. So I had been doing a devotional a couple months ago, and I learned about this word, and it just really stuck with me over the last couple months. And a few weeks ago, I decided, you know what? Since we're done with our Christmas series, the last Sunday of 2020, I want us to consider archegos, because I think this is a very important word as we go into 2021. So archegos is a noun that is only used four times in the New Testament. Scholars say it's extremely difficult to translate this word, but all four times it's referencing one person. So even though it might be extremely difficult to translate in every way, I think we can really understand the bigger meaning of this word. And that's what I want to do this morning. Now, archegos, the definition from Strong's Greek Concordance, I put it in yellow here, that's going to matter as we move forward. But archegos does not strictly mean author, but rather a person who is originator or founder of a movement and continues as the leader. So a pioneer leader or a founding leader. That's what Strong's defines this word as. And then there's several other sources, surveys of the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, and non-biblical sources define the term this way. They say that it's like there's a threefold connection of the word archegos, which means a pathbreaker who opens up the way for others, a source, founder, or author of something, and also a leader or a ruler. So, we are going to look at the four uses of the word archegos in the New Testament this morning and consider what they mean and what they mean for us. So, we're going to start out in Acts chapter 3, if you want to turn there. Otherwise, I am going to put it on the screen. It shows up two times in Acts and two times in Hebrews. So, Acts 3, the story, just to give you a little background, Peter and John are going into the temple in Jerusalem, and there's a lame man sitting there, and he's asking for money, just begging as people are going into the temple. And Peter, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but he says, I don't have silver or gold to give to you, but what I do have, I will give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man did, and all the people are amazed. Okay? And then Peter stands up, and he starts talking. And you can see the English word in yellow, that in the Greek is archegos. Okay? So, and when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety, we have made him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. So, Peter's probably not very popular right now because he just addressed the crowd and said, you killed the archegos of life. He's telling the people, you are missing it. You don't see who Jesus really is. You viewed him as a liar. He said he was God. He said he was the Son of God, the promised Messiah. And you thought he was lying. So you wanted to have him murdered. You viewed him as someone deserving death. But the reality is, he didn't just live. He is the author of all life and was raised from the dead. Archegos here is used to explain Jesus as the author and the founder of life. As you keep reading the New Testament, you see this idea popping up again and again. I'll just share a couple here. But Paul says this in Colossians 1. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Doesn't that sound like the author of everything? Everything was made for him and through him, and in him all things hold together. Jesus is the archegos of life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new what? New creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So not only is Jesus the author and founder of all life, he's the author and founder of all new life. It doesn't just stop with the one. He died and was resurrected and started something new. There's another story in Acts. The apostles are teaching the gospel in the temple. And we know from the gospels, a lot of times, Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the rulers, they get angry, don't they? When Jesus was teaching, and now the Sadducees are getting jealous, it says, and they're angry with the apostles. And the high priest puts them in prison. And you want to guess what happens? Prison breaks. Angel opened up the prison doors, and God said to the apostles, go back out to the temple and preach. And think of yourself as one of the apostles in that position. Like, wow, that stinks. They just threw us in prison for doing this. But if God's just going to break open the doors and tell us to do it again, what do we have to fear, right? So they go and do it. And the high priest finds them in the temple again. Let's read what happened. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. It's like getting sent to the principal's office, right? But you guys don't know what that's like, your homeschool. Okay, he set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Peter's saying, you guys keep trying to be leaders, but you're failing to recognize the leader that God has chosen. Jesus. Jesus, the Archegos and Savior, promised to forgive sins. And because you don't repent and acknowledge Jesus as Archegos, you're disobeying God and the Holy Spirit isn't with you. That's basically what Peter's saying. But he's referring to Jesus as Archegos. Here in our English, it's translated as leader. This is the leader that God chose. And what's interesting, in the Old Testament, the word Archegos, or forms of it, are used in several ways, which I think is why it's so hard for the New Testament translators to translate it. But here's one example. In Numbers 13, this is right before they left Egypt and they're about to go into the Promised Land and they're going to send spies. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. This is the Promised Land. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone an Archegos among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were, and this is where it says Archegoi, so plural, heads of the people of Israel. So one leader from each of the 12 tribes of Israel is going to be sent as a spy into the Promised Land. And what do we know from this story? What happened? How many of the men came back and said, yes, the Lord is with us, let's go in? Two. Two out of 12. And because of the 10's disobedience, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And I think what we're seeing here is we have this word Archegos, Archegoi, these leaders that are supposed to lead the people in faith into the land God promised them. And they're disobedient and they sin against the Lord. But there's hope, because there's two that the Lord is keeping faithful. It's almost like a shadow of someone to come. And God is going to send the leader to lead his people into his full promised land, Jews and Gentiles, to dwell with God. This is all a shadow of Jesus, the true archegos, the true leader. Third time in the New Testament, this is Hebrews chapter 2. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, there, that's that idea is here again, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. So what's the idea here? We have one leader bringing many people with him into God's presence, and he's like the worship leader, right? He's going in first. He's bringing about this worship before the Lord. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. One person went in before the rest. One person put his trust, his full trust in God. One person is leading a people into worship. Remember the picture of the trail through the snow. Someone, in one sense, had to suffer and walk first in order to make that path visible and usable for others who would come behind them. And Jesus' path to salvation and glory came through what?
Suffering.
And those who follow that path will also suffer, but will be brothers and sisters in salvation. And it says at the end here, he delivered them who are subject to lifelong slavery. So worse than being stuck in snow, right? People are spiritually slaves to sin and death, and they have no ability to get through or to find their way. I didn't tell you guys earlier when I was talking about the bog. Had that trail not been there, we would have definitely gotten lost, because I almost got lost with the trail. But I think that's also a picture of us spiritually. Even with the trail ahead of us, if it's not been for Jesus guiding us through that path, we would wander off of it, wouldn't we? In Hebrews 12, this is the last time archegos shows up in the New Testament. Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the archegos and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is an incredible invitation. Jesus made a way for us to complete the race. Not just jump in the race, but to complete it. And we must finish. That is the mark of a true disciple. We must finish. And it's hard to finish when we are clinging on to things of this world. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. We need to repent of sin. We need to recognize our sin and repent of it. Repent means making a 180, running away from it. Not seeing how close you can get to it, but turning completely around and running away from it. We need to repent of our sins, but also lay aside every weight. There's a lot of good things in this world. Good things that God may be okay with us to have or enjoy. But because of each one of our wirings and each one of our hearts, sometimes those good things can be idols to us, can't they? And even though technically might not be a sin, it might be something that keeps us back from running well. And I'm sure each one of us can think of some of those things in our life that can keep us from running hard toward Jesus. We're holding on to things that we don't have to hold on to. Run well, brothers and sisters. Let go. Repent of sin and let go of every weight that would hold you back. Our archegos is the true spiritual path breaker. He has made and is making a way for us to follow him. Our archegos is the author of life, giving purpose to all created things and offering new life to those he has chose to redeem. And our archegos is the ruler over all things. He continues to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is our last Sunday in 2020. And I'm sure many of us get caught up in the thought, I cannot wait for this year to be over. How many of us have thought that? Right? If only 2020 could get over, everything will be better again. Everything will be normal. I have a feeling it's not going to return to the normal that we thought. And I don't think there's any guarantee that the next year is going to be any better. We must prepare ourselves for whatever lies ahead. And how do we prepare ourselves? I don't know if we can come up with a plan. But we can prepare ourselves by knowing our archegos. Jesus is our archegos, and he has gone before us. He's not surprised by 2021. He's not surprised by 2022 or any year after that. He has gone before us, and he has made a way for his people to follow him and conquer. And that gives me great hope. I can get down many, many times. I don't know where we're meeting for church next Sunday. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to get sick. But that's not a weight I need to carry. Because my King has gone before me. Our King has gone before us. And everything is under his control. And even when bad things happen, he can and will work all things out for his glory and for our good. I just want to leave us with this last verse, Matthew 28:20. You guys are all familiar, but I think we need to be preaching this to ourselves. Jesus says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." From the time of the resurrection to the time that he returns is the last age. It's the last time for people to repent. And he's with us through that whole age. Through persecution, through suffering, through good times and bad, our archegos is with us. And that should give us much joy. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, we praise you and thank you that you are our true archegos. You are the source and author of life. And Lord, we thank you for life. And we thank you for the new life that we have been given in you and our freedom that we have from spiritual slavery. Jesus, you are our perfect leader. You rule and reign with all authority and all power over all dominions and nations and people. and you do not tolerate sin, but you dealt with it. You defeated it for us, and you made a way for your people to conquer. And Jesus, you are our path breaker. You have gone before us. You ran the race ahead of us, and you endured the cross. Make us a people, Lord, who run away from sin and lay aside any weight that keeps us from focusing on you. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.